You know, guys, when you get to be our age, finding the motivation to get back in shape can be hard. It's just plain tough to find a routine and to stick with it. Good news. FitBod is a fitness app that is anything but routine. It tailors your workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule, so you can avoid burnout. And FitBod helps keep up your momentum by mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. Best yet, FitBod has over 1,000 demonstration videos, so you can learn the right way to do each exercise. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/zabe. That's fitbod.me/zabe. You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about, feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
I'll just call myself Mr. X. Yep, you can't go wrong with Mr. X.
Mr. X, can you play chess?
No.
I can. My daddy taught me.
You know, winning your bracket would be nice. How about just winning some money on the tournament? It is time to bring in the law firm of X and X2. Degenerates at law, so to speak. Mr. X and his son, the JMU Flash. Hello, boys. How we doing?
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm doing, man.
So, X2, you and I have to get some side cheese on this since I am an adopted Wisconsinite. And the Badgers, yeah, the Badgers catch your JMU Dukes, and it's going to be, I think, a battle. You feeling good about this one? You already clipped Michigan State in our league earlier this year.
I was feeling a lot better until I saw all the trends. I feel like we're becoming the trendy 12-5 that everyone wants to pick, and I don't like being the trendy 12-5. I wanted to be the non-trendy 12-5.
Hold on, let me jump in here.
Yes.
Take anything Zay bets, and I'll take it from you later.
I don't have a firm bet on it, but I was just thinking maybe we have a friendly, like, mayor's bet on this kind of a thing.
A mayor's bet?
Yeah.
I'm always after a good mayor's bet.
On this one.
So real quick, so I can bring it back to my boys in Wisconsin, what does JMU do well, and what might they struggle at?
Wow, I did not know we were going to start with JMU, but I'm always happy to talk Dukes. What they do well is they shoot the ball really well. Since February, since our last loss, January 27th, we've shot about 42% from three. It's a mediocre defending team, but it's got better defensively. It's a very deep team. We play nine comfortably. Eight can handle the ball. Eight can shoot from three. One guy likes to handle the ball who can't handle the ball, but that's not a problem. We can shoot the ball well. It's a very balanced team. Conference player of the year in Terrence Edwards is probably not an NBA player, but he's a pro somewhere in some other country.
Right.
So it's a good team. And the matchup I like about that is Wisconsin's actually a really bad defensive three-point team.
They are.
We're going to shoot a lot, and we're going to take a lot.
Yeah.
We're actually – three-point difference is our best quality. We're also the number one three-point defense in the field. So the three-pointers, good and bad, offense and defense is where we make our money.
JMU is the best team at defending the three in the field?
28%.
Shit.
Actually, I think it might be lower than that. I think it might be like 27, 28. Don't hold me to the round, but it's the last.
They can't shoot.
So,
well, everyone can shoot in college basketball. We played Arkansas State in the conference.
Not your dad's alma mater, that's for sure.
No. They can't shoot anywhere. No.
Virginia, that is, for those who don't know. Yeah, all right, so what is the spread in that game? I don't think I've looked lately.
It started at like 5. It's hovered around 5, 5.5, 4.5. I don't know. The line might be waiting to determine. I'm trying to find a way to Brooklyn to go to it, so I think that might be worth about half a point if I can get up there. But right now, it's at 5.
Okay. Mr. X, I've got a great trend for you. And I know you look at the numbers, you look at the matchups, you try to analyze the games according to the basketball end of it, but I'm going to give you a different trend. I don't know if you've heard this. In every tournament since 2021, post-pandemic, a top two seed has lost in the first round to a team with a phallic or euphemistic penis-type name.
Oh, my God. X4 called me with that today, and I told him it was a child. Now you're going to do it?
Well, look, you got to play the trends. 2021, Oral Roberts defeated Ohio State 15-2. In 2022, St. Peter's defeated Kentucky. And then in 2023, 16 seed Fairleigh Dickinson defeated Purdue. Now, you might say, well, so this year, the 16-1 is Longwood against Houston.
I'm glad you brought that up because I don't know if we want to get deep into this yet, but my favorite long shot upset, I think is like 13, 14 plus, is Morehead State, 14 seed over 3 seed Illinois. So
every college kid's favorite team.
Okay. I did not have it because of that reason, but that is my favorite long shot.
Right. I can't believe that X4 called me with that stat today and Zabe led with it. That's funny.
You always lead with penis, my friend. Any dick jokes lead on this podcast, that's for sure. Okay, so Mr. X, you're front and center. Junior, stand down for a second. You said, X, you just finished your Calcutta. This must have been an online Calcutta.
No. Zabe, like I told you a second ago, that insurance commercial with the sticky pads all over the inside of the car. That is my office today. It's wild. I thought I was laying low, but what happens is like various website members over the years will be like, hey, do you want to help me with this? You want to help me with that? I never turn anything down. So I do like on the phone, help them with a Calcutta, or on the phone, help them with a pool.
Helping out a customer at callmemrx.com with their Calcutta.
Yeah, we'll split them. I'll carve them in half, and we'll be partners. And I just got off the phone with one of your loyal listeners from Texas, a guy named Steve Sockenseth. And we do his pool. He lets me help him with his pool every year so that together we can combine our heads and come in dead fucking last.
Okay.
But I did a Calcutta earlier with a guy, and I'm just like all over the map, man. It's crazy.
All right. So who did you get that you like?
Well, in various places, the one thing about Calcuttas and pools, is you don't go in wanting somebody. You just take what falls in your lap. You know, you take what falls in your lap. Well, I ended up with a little bit of Kentucky, some Creighton, and then a big Calcutta jumped in for a big number on Connecticut because they're going to win. I mean, this Connecticut team is the most dominant team as far as better than the second best since that undefeated Kentucky team that couldn't win. What, lost to, I think it was your Wisconsin guys.
Yeah.
But we took some of them. But, yeah, we just, you know, it's, you play for fun.
You know, this UConn team sort of reminds me of the completeness and the seeming airtightness of the back-to-back Duke champions of the early 90s, where they had a tool for every job on the court. Everyone knew their role. They had a splash of NBA talent, but it wasn't necessarily top-to-bottom NBA talent, and they just knew how to play.
Sure. And you know what's so fun about college right now? I mean, old-school guys like us that liked post-play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like Connecticut and Purdue dominating college with their two big men who can't play at the next level.
No. Klingon and Edie have no role.
No chance.
After none, because it's a shooter's league.
Something's wrong with the math here.
I know. So overall, how do you like this year's bracket, Mr. X, just in general?
How do I like it? You know, it's overall, I'll say this, stay out of the Connecticut bracket. I mean, I don't care how good you are. Auburn's awesome. Stay out of the Connecticut bracket. You can't get anywhere.
Right. Okay.
The bottom left, west. It's going to be one of those ones, and I don't know who it's going to be, but in a week we're going to go, wow, that's a bracket buster. I mean, I don't know who wins down there. It's all over the map. But, yeah, I'm glad to see. It wasn't that I wanted Virginia. I mean, whatever. But I really was glad to see the Big 12 trimmed a little bit. They were so freaking overrated. It was ridiculous. And everyone said 9. And, oh, here's the only thing I'll say about the bracket. And I told X2 this a week ago. What is it? 2 straight years, Lenardi, the bracketologist, what was it, got 67 out of 68 teams right. Okay, why? And I said this year he's going to get 67 out of 68, and he did. And the reason is you and me and everybody else go into this room for the week, and we're on the committee. If we come out and go 68 for 68, then our job's over and they just hire him.
Right.
You got to do just one thing different, even though he's better at it than they are. I think they take his sheet and go, okay, what can we change?
Right. And they did call some audibles that did not make mathematic sense, or they went against what they said they were going to value. By the way, I saw a bracket matrix site that tracks these guys. And Lenardi was way down, like of 255 guys, he was like 166. And when he says I got 67 out of 68, that's usually a snapshot as of noon on Sunday, right before the committee picks. I'm like, well, shit. Yeah, who can't get that right?
Well, I mean, you know, the point is he's better at it than they are. I think they just copy his homework.
Yeah, well, he apparently did not do well this year, but I don't know
He struggles a little bit sometimes on the seeding, but I don't know what he did this year, but on the teams he does fine. And most people do fine on the teams. Those brackets, doing the bracket matrix and how you'd score on that is all about how you get the seeding. And there was a lot of weird seeding this year. People like to focus on who gets left in and out, and that's, I mean, makes the most sense. I mean, if you're in, you have a chance. But there were some weird seedings this year. Like Duquesne's, I don't know how to say them. Them being 11 seed doesn't make any sense. I really think that they just put – they're like, we're just going to put the VCU of Duquesne's winner here, and we're just not going to move things around because all the 12 seeds have better metrics than them across the boards, and some of the 13s. I think they were just like, eh, here. They put all 4 of the weird conference winners at 11, and were just like, we're done. We're going home. I also find it hard to believe. They always say that they take this year in a vacuum, and I know they probably believe that. But like FAU and Michigan State, it's hard to believe if you look at their resumes this year in a vacuum that they're 8-9 seeds, not bubble teams, 10 seeds, play-in teams, especially FAU being an 8 seed. It's hard to look at a team that just breezed through the American and lost to a bad, mediocre at best Temple team is now an 8 seed. That's a right. reputation pick. I don't know if they'd be in the field if they made the Final Four.
They're saying New Mexico is quite underseeded, and that's evidenced by the point spread as an 11. Yeah. And people bring up Auburn's metrics, and they're like, there's no way they should be a 4. They should be a 2 or a 3.
Yeah, that's my storyline for the East region is we got the 4 best conferences, 4 conference tournament winners in one bracket with UConn, Iowa State, Illinois, and Auburn. And ever since Kemba Walker did that, 15 years ago, when he went on that crazy run and with UConn, everyone likes to pick the trendy team to get top in the conference tournament week, but I don't think they've done great historically. But you got all 4 of the 4 hottest teams in the country playing in one pod. So that's, I think, a big story to watch out for is all 4 of those teams are playing really good ball. Auburn, UConn's a game that I would love to see in the Sweet 16. Those are 2 really fun teams.
My new trend is what I call the adopted puppy trend, where you take the team that the people bitched about the most. Remember when Syracuse was like, I can't believe they're in the field, and then they went to the Final Four. UCLA, similar.
That was the year they beat us to get to the Final Four.
Right. So I'm going to adopt, at least for the first round, maybe 2, the mangiest dog in the pound, Mr. X's UVA Cavaliers.
People are going to be listening to this tomorrow already knowing
they're like, you're out.
So this will age very poorly if they've already lost and they're listening to this.
Exactly.
We'll take that out in post-production.
No, I ain't taking shit out in post-production. I'm going to get plenty of things wrong.
Before we do the tournament, though, I got to tell you.
Hold on. One more thing about seeding. So today, bit of news, Bill Self for Kansas confirmed that maybe their best player in Kevin McCullough is out for the whole tournament. This was less than 5 days after saying they'd be as healthy as they've been all season to help get a better seed. And then he's like, never mind. What a fucking dick.
What did he think this was, the FCS, like, picking 4 football teams? That doesn't
matter. Yeah, I was going to say, he must have learned from Florida State. I don't blame him for lying. I had that circled as another game. I liked Samford to begin before that news came out. Samford's a team that plays – like 10 dudes at 12 minutes a game or more. They press the whole game.
Crazy, isn't it?
And it's in altitude, which is, I think, a little interesting wrinkle against a Kansas team that struggles to play anyone more than 5. I mean, when they played Cincinnati without McCullough and without Hunter Dickinson last week, they looked bad. They play 5 at best. I think Samford could wear them out. And I like that's one of my best bets in Cinderella team circle, just Samford over Kansas. And that was before. That was at +7 before Kevin McCullough just got announced inactive. So I'm sure if you're listening right now, it's 5. But
yeah, Samford's coached by this guy Bucky McMillan, young guy, and that's why they call it Buckyball. I heard Buckyball referenced a ton, and none of the anchors on ESPN or CBS Sports stopped to mention why they call it that. So thank you for us casuals who had to go look that up. But yes, now that I've learned more about them. Holy shit, 29-5, and they are a freak team because of how they spread their minutes.
Yeah. Well, Zabe, I was going to tell you, since we were doing precursors, and I know you've seen this, but since you did the penis stories, the other good stat of the week is, you know, last week at the Cap One Arena, NC State won 5 games in 5 nights.
Mm-hmm.
This one's
the Wizards have won 4. At that arena.
I know. I saw that. Stat of the day. NC State has won more games at Capital One Arena than the fucking Wizards.
Ouch.
Ted Leonsis, call your office. Okay. All right. So how are we going to start digging into this from a point spread or just a picking a team to go deep and then maybe shorting a team or two? Do you want to go region by region?
I love going region by region. That's how I do my work.
Let me answer. X2 can go region by region, do your stuff, because your podcast listeners want to do brackets. They want to do all that stuff, and he'll give you the scoop. But you want to do, like, point spreads. Do you know what we did on the website last year, Zabe?
What's that?
I mean, we pick every game, and I urge everybody every year, and they don't do it. Don't dive. Don't dive in hard. Guys, just jump in on day one with 32 games and go nuts on Thursday, Friday, and they lose. And last year, we, like, on the site, we started poor. and so many guys get mad and drop out. And then when we got to the end, we hit the last 14 games in a row to finish this tournament. Yeah. 14 in a row. And everyone's like, oh, I shouldn't have quit.
Shouldn't have gone so hard early on.
Thursday, Friday. Pace yourself.
The site is the site is callmemrx.com. You can follow him on Twitter at @justcallmemrx. So I know this is not recommended, but I'm going to bundle myself up a mutual fund of every dog in the first round money line.
I've seen people doing that, and I don't hate it. It sounds like a lot of fun.
It's just a mutual fund buy that probably you can't get too hurt by it, and it could hit big if there's a couple of big money line upsets.
Zay, that sounds like your SPCA special. All the dogs.
All the dogs, right, exactly. I'll adopt them all. Okay, let's go region by region. If there's a point spread or two that looks wonky to you, Mr. X, just chime in. But let's start X2 in the East, in Boston, UConn the 1 seed with Iowa State the 2 seed.
Yeah, so we talked about UConn, and they're the story. And the one awesome thing about them that's incredible is, I mean, they haven't repeated yet, but if they were to, all the other past repeating teams have had so much continuity. They lost their 3 best players from last year, and they're better in the regular season. What Dan Hurley's done is nothing short of remarkable for that team. And we talked about the 4 conference champs. Those are the first 2 big things I wrote down. I also wrote down up for every bracket, the first round game to watch. And I've got Illinois-Morehead State circled. Morehead State is like, I don't want to call them Virginia, but I'll call them Virginia-esque. They play slow. They grind you. They're boring, but they shoot the ball really well. And they just defend. They defend really well. And they also take away team's best option. Illinois, if Terrence Shannon doesn't score all the points, I don't know how they'll play. That's my best bet also for the first round in this pod of Morehead State Plus. Opened at 13. I think it's at 12 now. Mm. So that's the one I've got circled there. And then my Cinderella team in this pod, I actually have Drake going to the Elite Eight in this pod to lose to UConn.
Oh, Drake. Shoot. So do I. That sucks.
Oh, so that's not going to happen. People forget, Drake's a team lost to Miami last year in the first game. They had a lead at the under 4 timeout. Their best player in Tucker DeVry went 1 for 13, and he averages 20 points a game. And that's what they did to lose by a possession or two to the Final Four team. They're a really good team. They're amazing on offense. All their offensive metrics are through the roof. And then on defense, their metrics aren't great, but what they do really well on defense is they only give you one shot. So you might get a decent look, but you're only getting one of them. I like that. I like their matchup against Washington State, and Iowa State doesn't score. I like their bottom part of that region is vulnerable. I also have a little fun fact for the Illinois tracking to that. The last 3 Big Ten conference champions didn't make the Sweet 16. I like BYU over Illinois as well. I think the Iowa State Illinois combo of 2 teams who got really hot and overperformed in their conference tournament both don't make the Sweet 16. So that's what I've got for this bracket, with Morehead State being the best bet.
BYU apparently shoots threes like it's Papa Shot at Dave and Buster's.
Shockingly, but they're also, what I like about BYU is moving to the Big 12. They play good competition, and they've played and beaten a lot of good Big 12 teams this year. So they're probably more athletic than you would think if you haven't watched them in 12 months.
Okay, Mr. X, thoughts on the East as we keep her moving?
No, I agree. I think that, I mean, you know what, all the fiddling around in brackets is great, and then Connecticut wins, fine, whatever. But I do like Drake and BYU both. I bought them both earlier today.
Okay.
Thing about this. This is the pod that has 3 of last year's 4 Final Fours, so UConn has a chance to start off with after stats in FAU and San Diego State if that happened, and just start right how they finished last year, which is fun.
Wow, I didn't even recognize that. That's right. That's the order they beat their Final Four teams, right? FAU and then SDSU.
Who was the other Final Four? FAU.
They actually had Miami. FAU, SDSU was the buzzer beater game. But they had Miami, but that was 3 of the 4 right there.
They match up the Final Four right out of the chute. That's wild.
I don't know how FAU returned 8 guys, and they're considered overseeded as an 8. What happened?
So the two sides for FAU is, like, one, they kind of did coast after a little bit in conference play, and you could say, like, they've done it before, so they have this mentality of we'll flip the switch. can you believe a team can just flip a switch because they did it once? That's up to you. I don't think they'll beat Northwestern. I think Boo Booey is the best player on that court. So, but
Boo
Booey is the most fun player on that court for sure. But you could argue for them if they go on a run, those storyline will just be they just coasted and they just flip the switch. So,
okay. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. Let's go to the Midwest. I'm going diagonally down to the right. I feel like geographically we should go east to Midwest to south and then west. So let's go to the Midwest, and we've got Purdue, the one seed, Tennessee, the two seed. You've got Creighton, the three seed, and Kansas, the four. This bracket is riddled with what I call trust issue teams. Trust on Purdue being the chokers that they are, and being the fact that when Zach Edey gets officiated by non-Big Ten officials, it's like a whole different world. Trust issues with Tennessee because Rick Barnes has a horrible tournament record. It's like 9-27 all time straight up. And trust issues with Kansas now that their best player is out for the tournament. So how do you see this bracket?
I'm going first this time. Stand down. Okay. This is the tilt bracket for me.
Well, I'm going to cut in real quick with that because I named this bracket the panic bracket.
The panic bracket.
We're all,
okay.
We're all the same.
Same concept, with just different names. Yep. Okay.
Okay. The reason it's tilt bracket is this. I'm biased. And when you have to know when you're biased before you reach in your wallet. Okay. Number one, when was the last time a one seed lost to a 16? Okay. Virginia did it. And the next year they won the title. So can Purdue do that? Come on. Why not? And number two seed, Tennessee, as X2 will tell you, I am so on tilt because I hate Rick Barnes with a passion for what he did 25, 35 years ago to UVA. I'll never forgive him. Screw him.
I wasn't born yet. My dad was had this grudge. That's how long he hates Rick Barnes.
I still hate him.
You know, if you're our age, you would hate Rick Barnes too. X2. Yeah.
I think once you win a title, you can let that be go because you're better off without Rick Barnes.
Okay, fine. We're better off. He gave us a 20-year setback for what he did at Virginia. And then you got Creighton I like, and Kansas is hurt. So it's like, give me Creighton, and I don't know. But it would be – how great would the story be if Purdue went from the worst loss ever, thank you for being a worse loss than the UVA, to UMBC, and then turn around and win the title. It would be a good story. And Zach Edey, wouldn't it be great if he won a title before he's a non-NBA player?
Right, before he goes to Yugoslavia to begin his international career.
But that's all I got. Go ahead.
He's going to dominate Yugoslavia. no, the panic is right on what I wrote down for this region. You got to have specific. Creighton has had some success. So I don't want to totally drag them into the Tennessee, Rick Barnes, Purdue, area. But Purdue and Tennessee, you've got to have the kind of feeling for them that's like, if not this year, then when? This is it for Zach Edey. And Tennessee, for everyone with Rick Barnes, is about the same teams of like, we play defense, we play hard, but we don't put the ball in the basket. And with Dalton Knecht being the best scorer in the country, it's like they finally should have that player to help them break through. You know, they've had NBA players in the past, but they have the best scorer now in the country. Like, if they can't, for both of those teams, you do have the feeling of like, if not this year, when? And then with Kansas Gonzaga, they're an interesting 4-5 because they're both good teams, but I would argue that they're not good for their standard, which is a testament to them. But this is not a great Gonzaga team. A little fun fact about Gonzaga. So you know the last time they didn't win a tournament game?
No.
Was the year they lost to Steph Curry in the first round.
Ooh.
That's how consistent Gonzaga is. They've made 8 16s in a row. The last time they lost the first round was to Davidson.
Yeah. Now they catch McNeese State, which is a bit of a darling, and it's a 5-12. And everyone's, you know, raving about McNeese and Will Wade, the former LSU coach. They suck.
I don't. I'm going to ask this rhetorically.
The girls team this year.
Yeah, I told you about this the morning that this is rhetorical. But if anyone looks through their November schedule, they played. Are you ready?
Yes.
Bible Study Community College.
That's not a real school. Go ahead.
Campus Christian Community College.
Also not a school.
Mississippi University for Women. Who's now a school that has men and women, but they never changed the title of their school.
That's who McNeese State played.
They kept them to under 30, I think. So they're but the problem with McNeese, with a lot of mid-major schools towards the bottom, is the like you're not looking for them to have like a crazy tough schedule, but you want something. And when you go through McNeese, their best win is probably VCU, which is the first day of the season, or Michigan, who won 8 games, and those are both in November. So I have problems picking McNeese. I like Gonzaga in that game.
I have a simple rule on your out-of-conference schedule. It shouldn't say girls in the title.
That's right. It shouldn't be like handicapped either. If you beat a team that's like handicapped in some way, that's also bad right there. Okay, so this could be the wide-open, wild wipeout bracket. Panic bracket, tilt bracket, the trust issues bracket. But I guess Creighton is a good flyer as a 3 seed to come out of that, maybe.
Yeah, the only one's out a big problem. Yeah, why not?
They're my pick. The other thing we did touch on in the Kansas-Sanford game, that's my matchup of this pod. And they're also my best bet of this pod. So I'm trying to do one best bet for each pod.
Sanford
this one
plus is Sanford.
I say that now, and I feel bad because you're listening, and it's like 5. So if they're down to like 5.5, then I'll switch it to – I'll give 2 for this one. Then.
Right.
Oregon's like a pick'em-ish.
Oregon
will beat South Carolina. So.
Are you afraid that now that Kansas has announced their injury status, that Samford's going to get overcooked as the sexy upset pick?
Probably. That might be good for JMU, though. So if we can move the spotlight off of us.
That
is one where I thought I was trendy and cute with it. And now, I'm sure by Wednesday morning, that will be the popular one. But I still like the matchup that we talked about. I do think the altitude will play a big problem with a team that plays 10 versus a team that barely plays 5. So, but
All right. We go to the South region. And I would say there's also some real wild card question marks in this bracket. 1 seed Houston, 2 seed Marquette, 3 seed Kentucky, 4 seed Duke. Houston shook a lot of people by getting their doors blown off in the Big Big 12 final game, and so that's got a lot of people a little bit spooked. Marquette is going to fold back in Tyler Colek, their point guard, player of the year in the Big East, but we don't know how healthy he is. He's got this oblique strain, which is a very tricky one to get fully back from in short period of time. Kentucky, as always, is talented, but Calipari's always worth at least -3.5 because tactically he's dog shit as a coach. And then Duke seems uninspired at this point. So how do you see the South?
I'm going to jump in first here. By the way, Kansas is, I just looked, they're still 7.5. So this, don't, let's not over exaggerate that this, I think it was built into the line.
Maybe they already know. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not, so that's not going to change. It was right. already in.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's it. Now, on this bracket, you know what? The gambler in me that doesn't even have to know college basketball, a week ago, I didn't like Houston. And after they got their ass whooped in the tournament, I kind of like them because everyone's going to run away.
Right.
And they're good.
Houston's on sale right now.
And when they're matched up in a bracket with Wisconsin and Duke, who are two overrated teams, they got a clear path to the Elite Eight unless James Madison steps it up. I mean, they got a bracket there, and everybody wants to run away from, you know, them after what they did. That bracket is, to me, the softest bracket. That's why I like Kentucky to sneak their way out of there.
Mr. X2.
Yeah, so for this region I wrote down, this is the region of star power. The top to bottom, this region has the most star power with, I mean, Houston has two incredible guards with Jamal Shedd's first team in the country. Tyler Colek, as you touched down, is incredible. Kentucky has four guards that are really good. Three of them should be lottery picks or fringe, and then another first rounder. Duke has Filipowski. I mean, is he going to play? Is his foot okay? Yeah.
I thought he died, actually. I heard he passed away after that bump from the fan.
He should win comeback player of the decade for that. He's a hero. I don't want to diminish that. I want to make sure that he's okay before we, you know, really touch down. Because I know they said it was his foot, then his ankle, then his knee, then his mental. So I want to make sure he's okay. But if he's playing, and then, I mean, they've got – and then a name to watch up top for Nebraska. I'm going to botch it. It's Kaisi Tomanga.
Kaisi Tomanga. Tomanaga. Kaisi Tomanaga, the Japanese assassin. A lefty shooting, lefty shooting, go-go, nonstop energy kid from Japan. So he's not even like Japanese, you know, sort of heritage born in like Cuyahoga. He's from Japan.
Hasn't Nebraska always had a pipeline for all the Japan prospects?
Yeah, right. They've tapped into that. Okay, I can name you two.
Another fun thing about that is Nebraska's the only Power 5. Original Power 5 one. Original is like 20, 30 years worth. It doesn't have a tournament win.
Yes. That's what's crazy. That's, they've never won a tournament game, which is nuts. And I can think of two Nebraska basketball players of all time. That's it. Two. That's
two more than I got.
That's Tyron.
I can do Tommy Frazier.
Tyron Lue and Eric Piatkowski. That's it. That's the list.
Wow. Well.
So,
but yeah, I do like what X talked about with, I do think Houston has a path, but I think the Nebraska A&M game is going to be maybe tough in another Sweet 16 game if they can get there. A&M is also a really physical team. They have two star guards in Wade Taylor and Tyree Radford. This is a region to me that has a lot of really good guards and a lot of just really good players. And then you can't talk about this region without talking about DJ Burns and NC State. Just an absolute workhorse down low, 6'9", 280 for NC State. If you watched ACC tournament last week, he is must-watch basketball. He will just throw his elbow into you, knock you on the floor, and then just laugh and score a layup. He's
incredible. It is funny. Bill has said it was like trying to guard a dump truck. Very difficult. By the way, back to A&M. A&M was picked to win the conference, and they underachieved, but they hit the offensive glass, and they do it hard. So that could be a tough first-round matchup.
It's also a really good coaching matchup right there with two really good coaches. Yeah, that's an interesting one. I like all the 8-9 games this year. I feel like most years are kind of like you glance over them, like whatever. There's a lot of fun. Three of the 8-9 games, I'd say, are really good games. This is the one I did have as the best matchup of the first round here. I do think the winner gives Houston absolute hell in the second round.
Florida as a 7 seed would have been kind of frisky until their guy blew up his leg. Which is tough, right?
Yeah, that's kind of my thoughts on them as well. I do think Marquette will be too good for them. I mean, like also Boise State and Colorado. I mean, that's really how I would summarize them too. secretly, Shaka Smart does not have a lot of tournament success after the obvious first year going to the Final Four. I don't think he's made even the Elite Eight. I don't think he's made the Sweet 16.
I don't think so either. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of pressure there. The one thing I like about Marquette is that with Kolek out for the final, I guess, week and a half of the regular season and the tournament, they kind of got some muscle memory on how to win without him. Cam Jones stepped up in his stead. Yeah. And they've got other guys that can do what they do. And plus, they just play defense like every Shaka Smart team does. So that'll help them if Kolek is not fully 100%.
And that's why the bottom half of that bracket, I mean, Marquette is good, but they're beatable. The bottom half of that bracket just looks like Kentucky. Can you step up or not?
Yeah, they've been so up and down all year. They're hard. I think they might have set the record for most times I've said, I quit. A team, and I've been like, this team's the best team in the country in one season. I think they've done that five times this season.
I think Kentucky's been that way for 8 years now, it seems, under Coach Cal.
If we can get Kentucky Marquette, that'll be the matchup of the two coldest white boys in college basketball, Tyler Kolek and Reed Shepard. That will be an incredible game. And whenever I circle a game in the future like this would be awesome, you know it won't happen. Yeah. But that's a game I really want to see.
But Calipari has a big contract, right?
I said this before that he has in his clause and contract, he has the job for life. If he doesn't make the Sweet 16 this year, they can't fire him. They might have to just kill him because they can't fire him. There's no other option.
It's not like a Kentucky alum to not take that.
They don't have any other choice. His seat is like already like the boosters like don't like him. The fans hate him because all he talks about is sending players to the pros while they lose in the round of 32.
Right.
And I do think he's as one of the elite coaches in the game, but I don't know what they do. If he were to like lose to Oakland, I mean, they have to at least explore the option of
he gets the best ingredients every year and then ends up making a grilled cheese sandwich and it's kind of burnt and it's got to be infuriating.
Zave, you know, lose to Oakland, swim with the fishes.
Please, nobody take this into your own hands. Just saying that for the record.
Fans are way ahead of us on that.
I know that you feel cautiously optimistic about JMU to beat Wisconsin, but if Wisconsin can win and if Duke holds form against Vermont, it's Wisconsin-Duke for the first time since the bitter championship game loss in which, boy, did the whistles turn ice cold in the final 6.5. And believe me, every Wisconsin fan likes to remind me of that. So that'd be a juicy one if it happens.
Yeah, I agree. That was kind of the coming out party of Grayson Allen. So Wisconsin kind of ruined that for the whole country by letting him become a star. that would be a really good game, too. I did put JMU as my most likely Cinderella in this pod, not just because I went there and we've won the most games around the country, but I don't really like the other double digits. Vermont is one of those teams that I feel like makes the tournament every year and then they never win a game, and every year I'm told how this is their year. It's like them and Colgate. I feel like I just can't watch them play basketball anymore.
I could swear Vermont had one upset once upon a time, but it's a long time ago. It was in the standard
like
definition era.
I looked it up the other day. I think it was like 05 or something. But my Colgate and Vermont, I think, have won their conference, I think, at five times in a row each, and they've just gotten waxed five times in a row. And so
Colgate upset Ohio State a couple of years ago.
That was Oral Roberts. Those are the two fishes.
Yeah, that's the piece.
Colgate upset somebody.
Okay.
They might have happened like before I really was paying a lot of attention. But the last four or five years, they're just nothing.
All right, last bracket. Let's go to the West. And your one seed's Carolina. Two seed is Arizona. Three seed is Baylor. Four seed is Alabama.
Who's up? My turn.
You go first.
Okay, well, everybody's jumping off of Carolina so fast because of the tournament. And they're in the soft bracket, if you ask me. I mean, Arizona, they look good, but how many years are we going to fall for Arizona? I don't know. Baylor's actually as good as anybody in that region. And I don't like anyone to come out of the middle, so it might as well be Grand Canyon. They're a live dog. Even though St. Mary's is underrated, Grand Canyon's a live dog that could sneak through. And then it's a toss-up. Baylor, maybe. There's nobody good in there. We might end up with, like, all dogs somewhere through there, and who knows.
St. Mary's has always played the second fiddle to Gonzaga in that league. This might be their best team. I think, X2, it's the highest seed they've ever been as a five.
I believe so. They've been Yeah, I think they've been a five. I remember they played Indiana, and I remember that was a 4-5 game a couple of years. That was a 5-12 or a 4-13.
Okay.
But yeah, they've been. This is probably their best team. I mean, they started the year 8-6, and now they're, I think, whatever in 7. And I would agree with the.
It's 18-1.
I wrote the first thing I wrote down. When I saw this bracket was I wrote down weak. I mean, obviously Carolina's the worst of the ones. The committee says that. I don't like Arizona's. They have not played well down the stretch. They looked poor against Oregon. The only thing that I wrote down for a storyline that would be awesome again, we never get these. If we could get Carolina, Arizona in the Elite Eight after Caleb Love transferred away from Carolina, that would be one of the best tournament games I can think of. There was a lot of rumors about why they didn't get along last year, but that would be a huge revenge spot for both of them. They both don't like each other. So that's a game that I would love to see that I don't think we'll see in the Elite Eight. You know, it's been since 2019 since we've had a 1-2 in the Elite Eight in any pod.
Wait, say that again?
It's been since 2019 since we've had a 1-2 in the Elite Eight in any pod.
I'm going to throw a flag on you, X2. I have a rule. Since stats must be 10 years old in order to impress me.
Okay. Well, that's a good stat. 1-2 just... It does shock me.
I would normally agree. I don't want to overstat things. But
that was 5 years ago, X, and they didn't play the tournament 1 year. Come on now.
That's still, 16 pods worth, though. So, well, we need to get to 30. Okay. I did stats. We need to get to 30, but we're closing. I'll get back to you in 3 years if that's a good stat.
Okay. People are talking up New Mexico. Are they really that good?
I mean, they're well coached with Pitino Jr. We were gearing up for a Pitino playing game. We didn't get it. They're well coached and they have great guards, and I like guards in the tournament over bigs. I don't love the Baylor matchup because I feel like if they got to Baylor is a very similar version of them, but just better, with better guard play, more spacing and more shooting. I do have them to beat Clemson. I will be middle on their stock, but I do like their makeup a lot. They're fun to watch too. I can see them running up and down on Clemson really well.
Okay. And then Alabama this year, how are they different from last year's Alabama? They're not as good. I believe I saw they were not as good defensively. They can score, but defensively they're meh minus.
Oh, meh minus is the nicest thing I would ever say about their defense. They've given up 103 of their last 6 games. Yeesh. They gave up 117 to Kentucky in February.
Wait, Lenny?
They lost 117.
Was that in quintuple overtime?
Nope, that was in straight regulation, and they were lucky to hold the 117. They can't defend anything. That is actually, glad you brought that up. That's the one I have circled as the game of that bracket. Charleston has no problem playing up and down either. The total for that is 174, I'm looking at, and I think it'll go over. That's going to be a fun game, but to answer the question, what is Alabama different? They're the same but worse on offense and worse on defense, I would say, than last year. But
all right.
I don't like this Alabama team at all. They can't stop anyone. I don't know if they don't try. I don't know if they're just not good at it. But their defensive strategy is make more threes than the opponent. No.
Couldn't stop a bad check with a court order, as I like to say, and much less any team that's competent offensively. All right, so do I press you guys for a Final Four? Is that too cliche? No. You want to hold that back? Do you want to pick a championship game and a winner right now just to see how it comes out?
I do get one last thing on the West real fast before we do that. I like Mississippi State to go to the Elite Eight. I think I hate picking against Michigan State, but I think Mississippi State's a really good team. Josh Hubbard's a really good guard as a freshman for that team. They're physical. They defend. I know they didn't look great against Auburn about a week ago, but I think they're a really good team. I think they can catch Carolina and catch Michigan State. And then I don't think the top of that pod's very good, or region's very good. So I like Michigan State to go to the Elite Eight, but I wanted to mention them because they're not Final Four, but I like that team a lot.
All right. Let's pick Final Four if you want.
All right.
Dave, you're first.
Why do I pick? You guys are the experts. Shit, I'm picking UConn to win it all, and who cares who else is in the Final Four. Based on what you guys said tonight, I will take a chance on Baylor as a 3, Creighton as a 3, and I will take Houston in a total contrarian play. Because the error of recency, Mr. X.
There you go.
People believe what the last thing they saw, not everything they've seen. So give me Houston a full contrarian play. Houston versus Baylor, and then UConn versus Baylor, Houston versus Creighton, with Houston, UConn in the final. UConn wins it.
That's, you know what I hate about that?
Go.
That I have in my final four, UConn beating Baylor, and I have Houston beating Creighton.
Well, because I looked at your sheet. I just listened to what you said.
Yeah, all these teams. And I swore to myself a couple weeks ago, and I watched them play, when I watched Houston beat Baylor like a month ago, I said, this is their year. And I know they can't – they played horrible against Iowa State, but I can't make myself right the same team 2 years in a row. So I have Houston beating UConn as the national champion.
Oh.
Ah, okay.
I can't pick the number one overall team who's going for a repeat. It's too chalky. I have to – so I'll win the championship and then have them lose.
How about, I got to love the fact that Zabe's talking about, you know, a contrarian pick with a one seed.
I hear you, but it's the dumbest thing ever, right?
No, but it
hey,
works.
Hey, at least I'm not like Shannon Sharp, who picked all four one seeds in both the men's and the women's. Now, look, it's a strategy. As they say, it's a strategy.
And that's the best way to get the most right. But whoop-de-doo. I mean, you know, come on. I mean, but then again, you turn around and you're the guy who, just like Seth Davis last year. I didn't watch the show this year, but last year he sat there and went through and picked every like double-digit team, and it's like, what good does that do? You know. But if you ask me, I'm not taking Houston. I'm taking Kentucky. I'm taking Creighton, Connecticut, and Arizona.
Okay, I like it. Here's one for you, too, which you guys will like. Jay Billis on TV seeing Grand Canyon being listed as a 5.5-point underdog to St. Mary's. Quote, Vegas doesn't know what they're doing, unquote.
Neither does Jay Billis.
The arrogance on this guy.
If Grand Canyon wins that game and they storm the court, will they get arrested, or how did Jay Billis proceed?
That's a good one right there. All right, for more stuff from the law firm of X and X2, go to callmemrx.com. As always, bet with your head, not over it. Fuck your Dukes. Wisconsin's taking you down. Cinderella gets kicked out of the ball this weekend. Friday night, don't cry to me when it happens. We'll have a friendly bet on something. I'll send you something nice. How about that, if your guys
will. We'll work on their mayor's bet. All right. We'll work on their mayor's bet.
All right, very
good.
I'm
in time to be there, so if you see me on TV, I'll be there.
All right. All right, boys, stay safe. Thank you, sirs.
Hey, Zabe, one last one. On the way out the door, your favorite college basketball analyst, Coach Naki?
Yeah.
Do you know that X2 played for him?
Get out.
As a young 9-10 travel player, he played for Coach Naki.
And what'd you think of his coaching, X2?
I was nine. I mean,
was he a better coach than your dad?
I was nine. I remember him being a very good coach. I was tough but fair.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You loved him. He was good.
I liked him a lot. He was always a coach who taught me most of the skill stuff that I ever learned. He was heavy on teaching skills, so right. I appreciated playing for him. 9-year-old Tyler was very appreciative as well.
You do know when he coached at American, he had a guy point shaving on his team.
Oh, yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
that was back when it was illegal.
All right. See you, boys. See you. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.